Breastfeeding is definitely a hot topic in both research and midwifery in general. It's obviously you see the signs in hospitals and the kind of push towards breast is best. It's so important both for mum and baby, and all the emerging research is showing that it's a form of feeding that will impact a baby until their adulthood.
So your research has looked at how Arabic women view breastfeeding and infant feeding. How is breastfeeding viewed in Arabic cultures?
So for the women and this small cohort of women, so it was around 17 to 19 women that took part in these focus groups in my study, they viewed it as a culturally normal thing to do. You know, their mothers breastfed, their grandmothers breastfed, their sisters breastfed, their aunties breastfed. And the theme in that is women. So it was more often women's work. It's like women's ownership of breastfeeding, and that came with this knowledge, this parenting knowledge, that all I have to do is pop the baby on the breast. If it's sick, pop the baby on the breast. If it's fussy, pop the baby on the breast. That was something that they kind of kept repeating.
And where does this belief stem from?
For Arabic women specifically, it came, and they mentioned a lot of it as a passed down by family members, obviously. It's socially known as well. You know, a woman will say often in clinic, when I'm as a midwife, when I see women in clinic, whether they're Arabic or Chinese or any other culture, the first thing they say is, yes, I would like to breastfeed. It's very rare that you hear a mother that says, no, I'm just going to bottle feed. And some do, which is perfectly fine because it's the woman's choice. But it's just this, it's socially, it's culturally. And for the Muslim women in my study, it was religiously indicated for them to breastfeed.
Really? Where is it religiously indicated?
Yeah, so in the study, I had a group of Muslim women, around 9 women that took part in the focus group, and they mentioned that in the Quran, it's mentioned that a mother should breastfeed for 2 years if she can.
So exactly, it's not like the World Health Organization guidelines.
What a coincidence. So for them, it was more, they really brought it up and said it's Islam is this defining factor for them and their decisions and desires to breastfeed. And obviously there were women in that group that couldn't breastfeed, that had to supplement their babies with formula, and that was okay as well. And they did mention that, you know, if you cannot do it, if you mentally, physically cannot breastfeed, it's not something that they will punish themselves or anything negative like that.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because I think in Western society we do get caught up in, but there's a lot of stigma attached to women who do formula feed and who aren't able to breastfeed or choose not to breastfeed. But are you saying that in Arabic and Muslim cultures it's okay if you make that choice not to breastfeed?
Definitely. The mothers, they actually brought up a point that was very recurrent in all 3 focus groups, that there is a massive social push towards breastfeeding, both in the hospitals and outside in the hospitals, or even sitting in a waiting room. A mother mentioned that she was formula feeding her baby, and her baby was a bit ill, and she could hear another mother mentioning that, you know, if you breastfed your baby, it wouldn't be that sick. And that's a bit concerning, that it's such, you know, we're putting women under this massive pressure that breastfeed, you have to breastfeed, and they're stressing themselves out. And the women mentioned that it's such a massive social push, more than even a cultural, and it's not even a solely Arabic thing, like, let's breastfeed. It's in the wards when they first have their baby. It almost kind of, the theme was brought up that, are we giving women an option to breastfeed or bottle feed, or really informing them that it's okay if you cannot breastfeed, there are other options. We can help you. We can educate you and give you that. So they're making informed consent.
And also, I think came through in the study that there's this belief that a healthy baby is a big baby.
So the women mentioned that healthy fat baby theme. And as an Arabic woman, you know, both my parents are Lebanese, I totally got that when the women mentioned it. I thought, yes, that's exactly, you know, what my mom or dad say, or my grandmother says, you know, keep eating, you're not full, and you've eaten like 2 plates of whatever meal you're having.
Exactly. And that's quite a thing in Lebanese culture, is the food.
Definitely. Yeah. And you think, you know, does it really stretch on to kind of when the baby's just born, their stomachs are so little, you know, they're not going to eat 2 plates of tabbouleh for lunch. But the women kind of had a giggle and said, yes, my baby is, you know, a normal weight, healthy, exclusively breastfed. He's 4 months old, yet my mother and my mother-in-law always push for me to give it formula. Like, he cries, give it more food, give it formula. You know, he's still hungry. Look at him. He's too skinny. Rah, rah, rah. And they just went on. And they just, it was actually quite funny, but a really important theme that in the view of probably older Arabic mothers and mother-in-laws and maybe some fathers, that a skinnier baby or an exclusively breastfed baby was not that, if it's not fat, if the baby is not fat, then it's not healthy.
Well, that's kind of an interesting comparison because there's that big promotion of breastfeeding, but yeah. At the same time, they're saying the baby needs to be fat.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, some of the mothers, because a lot of them were from, you know, late 20s to in their 30s, and they would mention that their mothers, it was like the generation of formula being the savior. So that older generation of Arabic, you know, mothers would come in and go, oh, just give it the bottle. Like, it's going to keep crying. It's easy for you. It's easy for your partner. It's easy if you want to go for work. And to top it off, they're going to put on a lot of weight. Whereas, you know, you're breastfeeding it, you know, haram, it's not getting enough nutrition. It's not getting enough milk.
Pregnant women and new mums, they always look towards their mothers and grandmothers for guidance more so than anybody else. Does that concern you as a midwife that their parents and grandparents are giving them this...
the advice?
That formula advice, yeah.
It's not really concerning. I find it quite... I love when the mothers or the grandmothers or the aunties or the, you know, female cousins, they all come into the labour room and... or the postnatal room, and they all kind of contributing. Sometimes they can give them contradicting advice, but it's up to us as midwives or clinicians, nurses, lactation consultants, to inform the woman enough that she makes that educated decision that breastfeeding's going fine, my baby's settled, healthy, good weight. Do I really need to give it formula to just make it stop crying during the night or something like that? Or what else can I do? And that's why we try as best as we can is to educate the women antenatally as well, giving them that form of education.